24 is withdrawn. 25.
17.
17? We just voted on that.
We did.
We voted on that earlier.
We did that earlier.
We need to get those big gold dollars.
Mr. Chair, item 25.
Item 25, please. Thank you, ma'am.
Item 25 from Corporation Counsel, submitting an informational monthly report providing an update on the status of pending litigation. This item was also considered by the Committee on Judiciary, Safety, and General Services. That committee took no action. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Grady, would you like to go into closed session? Do you think we need to go into closed session?
Not at this time. We'll see how the questions go, but not at this time.
Okay. Proceed, sir.
You should have the list in front of you, and I'm just going to run through it, and my comments should generally be fairly brief, I believe. The first item, you'll see it states there that there's a temporary stay of the case until May 10th. The parties have agreed to extend that stay into November. Essentially, what we're doing is watching the Act 10 case, and because that Act 10 case may or may not have an effect on this case. So that's being done by agreement of both parties. I'm going to skip, unless there's questions, to number five. Number five is the pension multiplier case. That case is in the Court of Appeals, on our appeal, the county's appeal. And we recently received word that the case has been transferred from the District 1 Court of Appeals, which is the Court of Appeals that governs Milwaukee County, to the District 4 Court of Appeals, which is the Court of Appeals that governs Dane County in southwestern Wisconsin. And so that panel will be hearing the case. We also just were told that the panel will hear the case without oral argument, just based on the briefs. That's not particularly unusual, but usually is an indication that we should get a decision within 3 to 6 months. So we'll see. Item number six are three different cases involving sheriff's department captains and their layoff and reinstatement. One of the last of the three cases listed there is Sheriff Clark versus the Civil Service Commission. He appealed to circuit court to review the commission's decision that he did not appropriately, or that the county did not appropriately lay off those three captains. Circuit court affirmed the commission's decision. The sheriff has filed an appeal to the Court of Appeals on that case. There is still, with respect to the first two cases, there's still attorney fee issues outstanding. The captains are asking for attorney's fees, and we also have the issue of whether or not the county is responsible for the attorney's fees for the sheriff's attorney in those two cases. Those have not been decided or resolved at this point. I'm going to skip to number nine. That's the Christensen case. I'm going to tell you what you already know, but that is the fact that Judge Brash ruled that ordered that the county enter into a contract with Armor Healthcare, Correctional Healthcare Services, which the county has done in compliance with that order, and they began working on midnight on May 11th, I believe, or midnight on May 10th. And so they are in beginning the process of supervising the medical staff, which is comprised of the current county employees and Armor employees that will be hired to fill the vacant county positions. We are still going to, or I should say, you are still going to have a lot of work in front of you with respect to working on the budgetary items and the position, the personnel items, as we go forward to straighten out this divorce. But that'll come forward at a later cycle. In terms of the lawsuit, we have complied with the court's order to enter into the contract. It is a one-year contract. I assume the administration will at some point have to decide whether they're going to go out for an RFP or what their goal will be going forward. Our goal in the litigation will be to hopefully have a good result from a healthcare standpoint and ask the court to lift the consent decree at a reasonable time. My guess is it'll take a good 6 to 9 months of favorable experience before we can really contemplate doing that.
Supervisor Jersey.
Well, and that gets to the question I was going to ask. The Christensen decree then continues, even though the judge has ordered that we enter into the agreement with Armor.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The order is to facilitate to bring us into compliance with the decree. The judge did say what I just said, and that is, even though he, this particular judge, is rotating in August, it's his expectation that the parties, again, assuming we get good health care and no problems, that the parties can look towards trying to have the decree dismissed at some appropriate time. 6 to 9 months was my guess, but we'll see what the court says.
Is Dr. Shansky still providing oversight, or is this strictly under the judge now?
Well, Dr. Shansky is still the medical monitor. I think that's an item that we're going to be discussing with the court, whether there will be a change in the medical monitor. Right now, he is still the medical
monitor.
Still.
Okay.
I'm going to skip then down to...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I have a follow-up question.
Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you. Okay, so regarding the Christensen consent decree, so you said they'll do something within 6 to 9 months. Do we have to go back to court for that, or will the court do it on its own? How is that going to happen?
What will happen, Mr. Chairman, is that we, the county, will go back to court when we feel we have a reasonable chance of convincing a judge to dismiss the decree. And that really is a judgment call on have we had enough good experience to show that we've got it fixed, for lack of a better word. And it'll depend on what the plaintiffs think, what the ACLU and the Legal Aid Society think. And so if they think they've got a good result, they'll either say, we're still seeing problems, or they'll say, things are going well, but we haven't had enough experience, we don't trust it yet, let's wait. Or they'll say, we agree. And so it's sort of a judgment call. At some point, we'll go back to court, ask the court for permission or to order the dismissal of the decree, and it'll depend on what the plaintiffs, how they respond.
So, Mr. Chairman, to clarify, whose judgment call is it?
Mr. Chairman, at this point, I would say it's our office's judgment call together with our outside counsel that's hired through the mutual to assist us in making a decision on when we think a good time to approach the court will be.
Okay. To dismiss it.
Because I just want to state for the record that this has been, it's 13 years in running that we've been dealing with this, and it was my sincere hope that we would have been not discussing this or discussing it as a thing in the past as of right now. And so I personally don't want to be discussing this next year or 2 years from now. I really would like to get it over and done and not have to. It's something that's very ugly for Milwaukee County, and I just, I just would really like for once and for all to have it over. And I did discuss several months ago maybe getting a new medical monitor, so I'm kind of happy to hear that. I don't think it's Dr. Shansky's fault by any means. However, I'm not sure how effective, that oversight has been, in that we have been at a standstill with this, and now we're to the point where we're actually having to bring in an outside entity to do something that I believe Milwaukee County could have done on its own had we had the cooperation of everyone involved. And so I just wanted to make sure that I'm hearing properly. And then how will this come back before us? Will this be something that's on your radar that you will bring back? Is it something I need to notice the clerk about? How will we hear back from Mr. Grady regarding this, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Grady.
Mr. Chairman, several answers to the questions. First of all, it will remain on this list as long as it's there. So you'll hear about it every month. It'll be on the list. We share, my office shares the concern. We would just as soon be rid of the consent decree as does the sheriff, and as does, I'm sure, Mr. Haithman now. And so everybody's interested in that. But you'll recall we had some problems on the other half of the consent decree related to booking about 6 or 7 years ago that were
right.
Substantial, and so we couldn't get out of the decree at that point because of those reasons. And so now the hope is we have not had any problems on that side, the population count side, for some time. I'm hoping that due to the separation of the house and the jail that we don't create some problems in that side of the decree, but I don't know. In the medical care, obviously, we've gone through a tough roll for the last couple years, and, hopefully the contract will work as the court hopes. And lastly, on the medical monitor, the medical monitor is part of the consent decree, the requirement of having one. The county paid for it. The medical monitor is there really to assist the court in oversight.
Right.
And so he sort of plays the role of the eyes and ears of the court. He's not necessarily for the plaintiffs or for the county or for the sheriff or the superintendent. He's there to be the court's eyes and ears to report to the court. And so I think everyone is in agreement that we would like to find a new medical monitor. So the first question is, can we find one? Can we find one that everyone would agree with and not object to? And then we would approach the court to do that. But we'll still have a medical monitor. It'll
right.
just be a question of who it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor.
I think then I would just skip all the way towards the end. Item 15, again, something you already know, and that is the decision of the court that affirmed the House of Correction being transferred to a superintendent, and the sheriff has filed an appeal of that decision. Obviously, as you know, the transfer has gone forward. There was no stay of the transfer, but he is appealing the principle that's decided in that case about who has the ultimate authority. Number 17 is the case that we've talked about in the past regarding the burial sites at Frater. The Division of Hearings and Appeals ruled that Frater could proceed with its plans, and the county would bear under its lease with Frater most of the costs related to removing the remains. However, the State Historical Society has itself filed a separate request for a hearing with the Burial Sites Preservation Board. And so they are moving forward with that petition in front of that administrative agency. And I would hope that we would get a hearing in that sometime this summer, and then we'll see what happens with that decision.
Historical Society started its own action.
Yes, they filed it's an administrative hearing in front of that state administrative body, the Burial Sites Preservation Board.
Are they seeking to block the moving of burial sites?
Well, the short answer would be yes. I'm not represent them, obviously, but I'm not sure if they're opposed to the entire project or just portions of it, but they are in opposition to all or some of what the Frater wants to do, yes. I'm not handling this personally, so I'm not intimately familiar with the details.
But this is the Milwaukee County Historical Society?
The State Historical Society.
State Historical. So it would have been their board that made that decision?
I would assume. I don't know.
And did you say this was at county expense?
If the remains are moved, our lease with Frater requires us to cover that expense, yes.
Our lease requires us to do that?
Yes, I think Mr. Mansky probably knows this better than I, but short answer is yes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the lease agreement between us and Frater Hospital would require us, since it is our land, and they have the land lease with us, if they have to do anything with the land, for example, the burial site, we would be responsible for the payment of that cost. And that cost is approximately $2 million to exhume the bodies. And then, depending upon what we would do with the bodies, it would cost another $2 million to rebury the bodies.
Did we know we had a burial site there when we entered into the lease, or was this discovered afterwards?
There are numerous burial sites around the county grounds. I think it was somewhat of a surprise when the first burial site was discovered, I think around 1992, when they were putting up a building. The county paid for that cost for the exhumation, and then those bodies were transferred to, I think, Marquette and then to UWM. One of the items, and I don't mean to speak for the attorney, but one of the items was that if the county had known that it had burial sites there, could it really have transferred that property to Frater Hospital at the time? So that was one of the issues that was brought up by the county at that time, that there was a state statute that basically said you can't transfer your property if you know that there is burial sites there. So that was one of the provisions, and that's what one of the issues that the State Historical Society is looking at is, like, could the county really have transferred this property or done a lease for this property knowing that there were burial sites there without the state's approval first?
This is basically pauper's graves, what
yes.
is commonly called pauper's graves. Were they actually buried in caskets and tombs?
These burials occurred from approximately the 1880s to the early 1900s, 1920s, 1930s. I believe, and the way these burials occur is they are probably a wooden box, wooden casket, you know, not a formal casket, not surrounded by sarcophagus or anything of that nature, and they are buried six deep. So six on top of each other. And so the previous time when they had done the exhumation, they were able to determine, based upon some of the things they found on the bodies, of who, you know, some relationships to people or, you know, other types of things and that. There is at the Milwaukee County Historical Society, there is a burial book of listing of, you know, but in many cases it may just indicate female, you know, 20s, but they don't give the specific site. But there are a number of spots still on the county grounds. Some are well marked. This spot was not a well marked spot. Freidert, once they had received the notification that they could begin construction, I live out in that area. Immediately they began putting up the orange snow fences and the concrete barriers and were beginning to start the work until the State Historical Society came in and wanted to look at this issue.
Okay. Thanks for that update.
Mr. Chairman, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much. I appreciate all of your time. Especially Mr.